Well, good morning again. We are moving right along on our path to Easter and our look at the miracles of Jesus. And I pray that you are enjoy reading about the miracles of Jesus every day. This miracle that we study today is one that is a very personal miracle for two different people. But our focus will be on just one of those today. So let us go to the scriptures. Let's go to Luke 8, verse 40. Now, when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. There is little doubt that this man, Jairus, who came pleading to Jesus, certainly needed a miracle. His daughter was dying. But he wasn't the only one in the need of a miracle. Verse 42. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. But no one could heal her. So Jesus is on the way to help this dying girl. The crowds that were following him were so big they practically crushed him. Yet somewhere among the throngs of people was someone else that needed a miracle. A woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. To fully understand how devastating this was, we have to understand the Old Testament law. Two important terms for the Israelites were clean and unclean. Now, this does not simply mean they needed to shower or to wash their hands. For the Jews, the book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were full of laws about things that were clean and unclean. This involved all parts of their lives, from what they ate, how they lived, and how they worshiped. Being clean or unclean determined if they were acceptable in society and acceptable before God. And listen to how serious it was to remain clean in the sight of God. This is from Numbers 19. But if those who are unclean do not purify themselves, they must be cut off from the community because they have defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of cleansing has not been sprinkled on them, and they are unclean. It was very important to the Jews to remain ceremonial clean. Those who were clean could participate in everyday life. But if a person was unclean, they were cut off from the community and isolated. They could not go out in public. They couldn't go to worship. They couldn't visit friends. They couldn't visit families. They couldn't go to the market. And one of the very strict rules to women and their normal cycles, if you understand what I'm saying, and if you want a very graphic and detailed version, we can read Leviticus 15, but I will spare you that. But in the scriptures, there were rules for women who had a disorder that went beyond their normal cycle as well. And as long as this woman had this disorder, she was unclean. And everything she touched was unclean. And any person that touched her or touched something that was unclean was also unclean. From her doorknobs to her utensils to her bed to her chairs to everything was unclean. And for 12 years, this woman was unclean. For 12 years, she was isolated. For 12 years, she had no life. She couldn't marry. She couldn't have children. She couldn't hug or touch a loved one. Some of you went through COVID and kind of knew how this felt. Some of you were isolated. Some of you were alone. You craved the human hug, the human touch. Wasn't it great that first Sunday you could come here and we said, is it okay to hug? Right? But didn't it feel good to get that embrace? For 12 years, she had nothing. This woman needed a miracle, but she had three problems. Number one, she was unclean. She wasn't allowed to go out into public, or she risked further shame and punishment. Number two, even if she could go out, The streets were so crowded, she didn't have a chance to get near Jesus. Remember, the crowds were almost crushing him. How is she going to even get close? And number three, Jesus was already on his way to save the life of a little girl. Now, how do you compete with that? Although this woman had been suffering for 12 years, a 12-year-old girl's life was at stake. Would you want to take Jesus away from that? And just as a side note, the little girl passes away, Jesus arrives and brings her back to life. So that's the other miracle. And to many people, including this woman, it may seem more important that Jesus goes on to do that miracle. And maybe some of you have felt that way with God. You know, he's got the whole world in his hands. I don't want to bother him with my little problem, right? And yet, despite all of these obstacles, what does this woman do? Luke 8:44. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. And in the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." This woman goes against the odds, and she knew by faith that if she could just touch Jesus, that it would transform her. And it did. She was healed. And Jesus stops for a moment. He questions her, but then he does what? He blesses her. And what I want you to see here is that an encounter with the divine Jesus will change you. And my question for you is that something you believe? Do you believe a true spiritual encounter with the divine will change you? Do you have that faith? The faith that true spiritual encounters with the divine will change you? Do you even want a spiritual encounter? This woman had faith. This woman sought Jesus at the risk of her own life just to have an encounter with Jesus. And through her faith, her life was changed forever. And not even including the disciples, just think of the numerous people that had encounters with Jesus and were changed forever. You remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? She received the living water. Her life changed forever. The adulterous woman who was caught in sin when it was ready to be stoned to death, and Jesus transformed her life forever. Mary Magdalene was said to be suffering from all kinds of demon possessions and all kinds of things, and Jesus saved her. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, the teacher of the law, just had to put his hand around it, and Jesus said, "You need to be born again." And Nicodemus was changed forever. How about the temple guard in the garden who had his ear cut off, and Jesus stopped in the middle of the chaos and put his ear back on? He was named by name. The church knew him. His life was transformed forever. How about the thief on the cross that said, "Jesus, remember me"? And Jesus said, "Yes, you will be in heaven with me." His life eternally was changed forever. How about the Roman centurion who was at the foot of the cross, who saw all these things transpire, and he proclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And there are so many more of these stories throughout the New Testament. All of these peoples had their lives transformed by their encounter with Jesus. For some, it was healing. For some, it was redeeming. For others, it was eye-opening. And for others, it was empowering. But for all of them, it was life-transforming. When you have a true spiritual encounter with the divine, it will change you. Now think about all the people that had encounters with Jesus and were not changed. Right? He had a lot of encounters. Most of the Pharisees, they didn't get it. The rich man, remember the story of the rich man? He said, sell everything. And the rich man went away weeping because he had a lot of stuff. He didn't want to give it up. He didn't change. Remember, there were two thieves on the cross, one who got it and one who refused. And we could go on with the list again. And the number one thing that separates these people from the other people is their faith. Some believed and their lives were transformed, and the others chose not to believe and they were left the same. See, having regular encounters with Jesus through the Holy Spirit is important for our faith. It can redeem us. It can help us to battle sin. It can bring revival. It can transform us spiritually. It can empower us, and it can allow us to experience miracles in this church. My question is, why wouldn't you want that? Why would you reject that? Imagine a genuine revival in this church. Imagine adding people to our numbers every day that have been saved. Imagine miracles of healing, miracles of transformation occurring through our faith. And if we want divine encounters, there are things that we need to do. Our first step is transformation in our faith. We have to believe. We must have faith that encounter with Jesus will change us. Back in Luke 8:48, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." When no one else could heal her, when no one else could help her, after 12 years of suffering and shame, she had the faith that Jesus would heal her. But did she just sit back and wait around in pity? Oh, I hope Jesus comes by to see me. No, she sought out Jesus. She desired and went after that encounter. Verse 44 says, she came up behind him and touched him. She sought him, she got close to him, and she touched him. And we need to do the same thing. We need to seek divine encounters. Jesus does not want a church full of people sitting on their hands going, "I hope God does something." Have you ever said that? Why doesn't God do something? Probably because you're sitting on your hands. Because you're not moving your feet. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." See, like this woman, we must seek out Jesus. And look at this, some of the things that are important in this verse. We must have our priorities straight. We must acknowledge that Jesus is our King, which means we are not in charge of our lives. The government's not in charge of our lives. Our culture's not in charge of our lives. Jesus Christ must be first. He must have complete authority in our lives. That's what a king has. He has complete authority, and Jesus is to be our King. And secondly, we see we must seek his righteousness. That means we need to desire to be cleansed of sin and live by God's ways. But isn't that the problem sometimes? We want to live our way. We don't want to really give our sin to God, but we still want God to work, don't we? I know I'm not perfect, God, and I'll work on it, but, you know, can you do something for me? But this is not the way Scripture says it works. We got to seek God, seek His righteousness. And after we seek Jesus, we must draw close to Him. That's what she did. She went out seeking Jesus, and she drew in close to Him. James writes this in chapter 4, 8, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Hebrews 10 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed pure with water. Do you see the connection here? And the connection to the first verse, getting rid of our sin, confessing, repenting, getting right with God. And as we draw nearer to God, we get rid of the sin and the barriers that are between us. As we draw near to God, He's going to draw near to us. And we need to draw near to God through prayer and confession. We need to pray and pray and pray. And we need to be cleansed of our sins. And this is done through our faith. And as we draw closer to God, then we can experience His transforming touch. And a good way to draw close to God is through our acts of worship. One of them we just celebrated was the act of communion. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He took the cup also after supper, saying, this is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And through faith and intention and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can touch Jesus through communion, His body, His blood. Not only do we encounter the divine in communion, we encounter the divine in baptism. We encounter the divine in our prayers, in the reading of scriptures, and through songs of praise. There might be some of you that experience this encounter every week. But my guess is that some, or maybe even most of you, have never really experienced that in our worship. You've never had a Holy Spirit encounter with God. And ask yourself, why do you come here? Do you come to see friends? Do you hope to hear a decent sermon? Do you come because you like the hymns? Or do you come to worship God and have a divine experience? See, you have to come ready to have an encounter with God. Let me give you some tips for getting the most out of your worship experience. Number one, when you come here, your first priority should be to seek God. Remember, this is about God and not about you. If you are worried about the length of service, if you are worried about whether or not you like the hymns, if you're hung up by how I preach and how many words I mispronounce, then you are here for you and not for God. You need to learn to see God in every element of the service. From the opening words, to the reading of the scripture, to giving of the offering, to the special music, to the hymns that we sing. We just don't open up the hymnal and Martha and I go, okay, that one, that one. We pick hymns because they have words, they have meaning. We are bringing you the word of God through the songs that we sing. And you need to seek to find God in every element of our worship. And if you want to transform the way that you come to worship, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to say a prayer before you even come into church. I mean, when you pull in that parking lot, spend just 1 minute and prayer, and ask God to prepare your heart for an encounter. Because if you come into this building with the thought of God, reveal your presence to me today. I promise you, God will reveal his presence to you. And number two, not only do you need to seek God, you need to have faith. You need to believe and have full assurance that if you seek God, you will encounter God. And number three, you need to draw near him and touch him. Don't let fear or embarrassment hold you back. Embrace every part of the service and do not be afraid to sing with full voice. Do not be afraid to say an amen. Don't be afraid to clap for a song that touches you. Don't be afraid to raise your hands out to him and say, God, I am ready to receive. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to take over you so that you experience what God has for you. And I can tell you this is true. In the last 15 years, I have preached a lot of sermons. And on the way out, I have people shake my hand and say, thank you for preaching about X. And in my head, I cannot recall a single word about X. And I've even gone back and reviewed my notes. Did I say anything about that? No, the Holy Spirit was speaking to them and revealed something in their heart that I didn't say. The Holy Spirit has an experience for you. And not only do we need to experience God here at the church, you need to seek God every day. Seek God in a daily devotion. Seek God in your daily prayers. Seek God in the beauty of his creation. Seek God in the fellowship of friends and family. Seek God in the work that you do. God made some of you some very wonderful people at what you do. And he has gifted you in administration, gifted you in craftsmanship, gifted you in different things. And you can see that in the work. And when you say, God, make me the very best thing that you made me to be, it changes your life. We are to walk daily in communion with God through the Holy Spirit. When we learn to worship right, when we learn to live it daily, I promise it will change you, it will transform you, and it will transform this church. But the question is, do you believe? Do you have that kind of faith? Now, our closing song is number 347. It's called the Spirit Song. It's a song seeking about us seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in this song, will you seek God? Will you have the faith that you can experience the divine today? That God will bring a revelation to you. That maybe God will bring healing to you. Maybe God will empower you. Maybe God will give you strength or armor or whatever it is you need today. But you can leave here having an experience and a transformation with the divine. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, so often we do things out of routine that they lose their meaning. But Lord, renew in us, refresh in our hearts what it means to truly worship and seek you. And Lord, let us not only seek you in our worship so that it may be powerful, but let us seek you each and every day of our lives so that you may empower us to live out your calling, to become the righteous people you've called us to be the people that serve you, the people that bring miracles to other people. We are to be a people of miracles, Lord. Let us not only experience them, let us be your deliverers. Let us deliver miracles to our community. Lord, let us receive what you have for us through this song. And let our lives be transformed on a journey to become more like Christ. This is our prayer to you today. And this we pray in the name of the Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit that is present with us today. Amen. My prayer is that you have been at least nudged by the Holy Spirit. That you rethink about how you seek God. That you rethink about your faith. And to know that no matter what the obstacles are in front of you, because we all have obstacles, don't we? There are things that are in our way that seem like a barrier between us and God. But through our faith and through our effort, we can overcome those obstacles. And we can reach out and have an encounter with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And in that, I promise, you will be transformed. Let us leave here as God's people. Let us know that God's Holy Spirit is always present with us. But it's only when we seek, open, draw near to, and receive it that we can fully experience it. Let us go and be God's miracle. Leave here now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.